bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 162, both stanzas. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior, He has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. Both stanzas of Psalter 162.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-wise, eternal, long-suffering, just, righteous, holy, merciful, gracious God, whom we do not know by nature, for the world by wisdom knew not God, and we know thee not, except it be by the foolishness of preaching. All that we can see in this world, and then we may be taught a few things of thee, but we cannot come to know that thou art righteous, that thou art just, and that thou art merciful, and that thou art gracious. All that we need to know these things, if we would be delivered from all our iniquity. Oh, look upon us. He that glorieth is to glory in thee. And our father Adam, he has tried to take a glory that was not given unto him. He has tried to rob thee of thy glory and to be as thou art, and to forsake his place of blessed dependence upon thee, his maker and his creator. And we are his children, and he is our father and our covenant head, and we have received from him by imputation and by inheritance, all the guilt and also all the corruption of our nature. Lord, then we look for glory for ourselves, and we look not for thy glory, but it needs to change. And it is a great paradox that thou didst come in great humiliation into the midst of this world to save such rebellious creatures, having sinned against thee, and yet thou didst humble thyself to take a place in this world of suffering and to take the place of those who deserve to be punished forevermore. Lord, we need eyes to see it, and we need ears to hear it, and we need hearts to understand it. because we go, each one of us, to our long home. Another week quickly gone by, the time flying away, and we, as in a dream, each one in our place in this world, with so little thought of thee, perhaps, as we go through the midst of this world, with a heart that is so often tied unto this world. Oh, then we need to be born again. We need new hearts, Lord, and we need a new spirit, a right spirit, to be put within us, and that is the power of Thee alone to give unto each and every one of us, as Thou dost sit in the place of Thy glory and of Thy majesty, having not only humbled Thyself, but now to be exalted at the right hand of power. Oh, we beseech Thee, and that Thou mayst send forth Thy Spirit on behalf of Thy dear and only begotten Son, that in the midst of us He may come, in the midst of us He may dwell. And we read of Thy servant, he did say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Oh, could it be experienced by us the same, O Lord, and when Thou wilt come descending upon that ladder, and that Thou wilt come unto us and unto our dear children, and that we may receive a blessing from Thee, and that we may receive life from Thee. And would it not be to Thy honor, O Lord, and to Thy glory? Is it not bought by Thy dear and only begotten Son? Hast Thou not promised unto Him a seed that should serve Him? And we do not serve Him, except Thou wilt give to us to serve Him. Lord, then it all must come from Thee. Thou art the Alpha, and Thou art the Omega, and Thou art the beginning, O Lord, and Thou art the ending. All shall be to Thy glory, as so it shall indeed be, and that he that glorieth, he will glory in the Lord, in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost, to all eternity for a salvation, and that we cannot give unto ourselves, but that comes only from Thee, and we sin it away every day again, having heard all our life, and yet with a heart that is so cleaving unto the dust in this world. Oh, we beseech Thee, Lord, and wilt Thou raise us up then in this afternoon hour above all the cares and above all the concerns that are here below, and where it is our lot yet to dwell, until it pleases Thee to take us from this world and to bring us into another world, and that when we may yet be here as it pleaseth Thee, may it be under all Thy direction, and that Thou would govern us indeed by Thy hand, and that Thou would lead us into all Thy truth, that Thou may keep us from the ways of sin, that Thou may give to us a true repentance. O bring Thou us through that straight gate, and give us to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. O that our life might be pleasing to Thee, that we may walk according to all Thy statutes and all Thy commandments, and that Thou would not deal with us according to our many sins, but wilt Thou look upon us in and through Thy dear and only begotten and beloved Son, in whom Thou didst say, I am well pleased, make us also well pleased in Him, that we may all speak the same thing, and that there may be no division among us, but that thou, our estimation of thy dear Son may all be one, and that we may be in him, and he in thee, and thou in us. Oh, that we may be one in thee, O Lord, could it please thee. Oh, take us for thine own account. It is all a miracle. It is all a wonder. And thou dost reveal it in thy word. But we need it revealed in our hearts. And we do not deserve it. Lord, our sins rise up against us. And they prevail against us every day again. Oh, we leave thee days without number. But wilt thou have mercy upon us amidst the well-deserved wrath? Oh, look upon each one of us in all the condition and the state we are in, especially when it is a state by nature yet, and when it is yet in the state of wrath. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to bring us over into that state of peace? And that thou may endear us unto thy word and to thy truth and to thee and to thy dear and beloved Son. Look upon all these young people, all these children, Lord. Oh, then there are those even that do not know their right hand from their left. And then there is so much in this world to draw them. As Satan, he has so many devices. Lord, thou art more powerful than he. And we as fathers and mothers have no power against him. O Lord, that thou may take them by heart and by hand, and that thou may lead them into all thy truth. Do show them in the days of their youth and the vanity of this life. Do show them the blessedness of the service of the Lord. Oh, give them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. And while the evil days come not, and nor the years draw nigh, when they shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Oh, work in parents, and give us to be true examples of thy grace in the midst of our families. And that we may be enabled to speak unto our children. And that we may be enabled to show them a life that is separate from this world. And that desires and longs for the true and the living God. A life wherein the heart is in heaven, where thou art. Remember those who are become old. Lord, thou knowest that we can have a foot in the grave, but it does not change our heart. Oh, there is nothing that can change our heart but thee, the power of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, do we not gather, O Lord, in thy house of prayer? Are there not those who do fear by times that they do miss what is so necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace? Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to remember them this day, in this hour, and that thou wouldst come and break the hard and stony hearts, and that also those who have become old under thy truth might acknowledge within who and what thou art, and who and what they are, and that they may be given for the first time in their life, even in old age, to be born again and to be born of water and of the Spirit. Lord, remember each and all the circumstances of life. And wilt thou care for all those who have difficulties and troubles in poverty, in loneliness, in sickness. Lord, thou knowest where each one of them are and the fears also for a surgery in the coming week. Lord, wilt thou comfort and give a little courage that there may be a place before thee to bend the knees and to lay the life itself before thee when we are placed under the hands of human physicians. Wilt thou, as the great physician, watch over in thy mercy. Remember all the afflicted, handicapped, those who suffer from addictions,
those who are oppressed, those who are abused in this world. Lord, thou knowest all the suffering. Care for all those who do feel their iniquity, who do feel their guilt. Oh, that thou may bring all of us in such a place, and that we may come with weeping and with supplications to thy footstool, and that we may find out by experience how good that thou art, how merciful that thou art, how gracious that thou art. Look upon us in this hour. Help us to bring thy word. Be thou in the midst of us. Give us truly to worship thee here in thy house of prayer. May it be in the singing. May it be in the hearing. And may it be in the praying. May it be with all our heart and with all our soul. Oh, that we may be lifted above all the spirit of this world. And that we may receive a place in thy house this hour. And better than of sons and of daughters. Lord, it all belongs to thee. And thou art God. And thou hast called us to this labor. Give us also then, in this hour, a little favor of thy Holy Spirit, that we may receive what is necessary to bring thy word in all clarity and in all truth, and that thou wouldst visit us with an undeserved blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 142, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. And what follows in 1, 3, and 4 of 142. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, 1 Corinthians 1, and thereof the 18th verse. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So far the words of our text. The preaching of the cross, first, foolishness, and second, the power of God. The preaching of the cross, first, foolishness, and second, the power of God. Our text, congregation, speaks about power. What is that? Our young people can say from science class maybe what that is, power. Say that is the ability to do something, that is the ability to accomplish something. How important power is in this world. We all seek for power because in this world, we wish to do something, we wish to get things accomplished. But now, the Apostle Paul speaks about power within the soul. Within the soul of a man, what do you think about that? Because the church says, that is what I need. And that is, however, what I lack. That is now what I miss. And why do they need it? They need it because, well, they need something done. They need something accomplished. They need something to happen within their soul. Thus religion, more than notion, something must be known, something must be felt, and they desire that power. And may be felt within their soul. Our text that speaks about two different groups of persons. It speaks about them that perish and us which are saved. Thus, to whom do we belong? To them that perish or to us which are saved? Because we belong either to the one or to the other. All mankind, Paul puts into one or the other of these two groups. And there is none other except for these two, them that perish or us which are saved. Thus, them that perish. Do we ever think about what that is? To perish. Do we ever read in God's Word what it means to perish? Because the Lord says in His Word that there will be those who are without Him, who are cast away from Him forever and forever. Oh, what a serious thing we read it is in God's Word to perish. When men will experience in the body such a great misery, when there are so many pains to be endured, and when there are pains in the body, when there is fire, we read in God's Word, and when there is weeping, when there is wailing, when there is gnashing of teeth, oh, what does it mean for us to perish? What does it mean in our mind? And when Christ speaks about the lowest places that are in hell, those that do perish. And then there are degrees also in that place. And then he says it is for those who have known the way and those who have not walked in the way that they shall perish, being given the lowest place in that place of perishing. Oh, what awful words, what awful thoughts, them that perish. Oh, do we ever meditate on those words? Do we ever meditate on those thoughts? Maybe you say, I do not want to think about it. Oh, I do not want to think about it when I am laying on my bed in the night, because then I have dreams, maybe, boys and girls. And then I am afraid. Oh, but what shall it be? What shall it be if we do perish? What shall it be when the time that is completely gone away from us, and that we may be delivered from perishing? Oh, shall that then not be frightening? When we cannot get away from all what perishing actually is? Oh, them that perish, what can we do? What can we do to lay it upon the hearts of one another? What it means to perish. The Lord Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem. He said, if only you had known the things, and that to belong unto your peace, your everlasting peace. Oh, it is still a day of peace. If you had only known those things today. Paul also speaks about another people. He speaks about us, which are saved. Then he does not say that you have to save yourself. No, when you say, oh, how can I deliver myself from perishing? No, he does not say you have to deliver yourself. He says us, which are saved. No, you cannot save yourself, but he says there is a mighty Savior that is able to save you, us, which are saved. Is that not a most wonderful thing? Are they not most wonderful words? When the apostle, he speaks about those who are saved, you say, saved from what? Well, saved from perishing, saved from a pit that has no bottom, saved from the wrath of God poured out upon mind and upon body, and that to all eternity. What is it to be saved, to be delivered from that great and awful perishing, saved from sin? Oh, do we ever think of this, what that is to be saved from sin? Never to sin anymore. Oh, to live as we have been created to live. To live according to all the statutes of the Lord, and that there is no more cleaving unto this world. A soul that is so near and dear unto the Lord, every moment, with a motive all to serve to His glory and to His honor. Oh, never transgressing, never going out of the way of the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. Us, He says, who are saved from sin, who are saved from the consequences of sin. Oh, is that not a beautiful thought? Is it not a beautiful expression? Us who are saved, who are brought again into that blessed reconciliation with God. Oh, He has made us. Is He not a wise God? Oh, to make such a creature as we are in His own image, to serve Him. Oh, is He not a wise God? And when He has made this whole world, this whole universe, oh, is He not a wise God? And when He has, in His eternal good pleasure and counsel, made it so that man may not only become the friend of God, but that he may be made even His own bride. Oh, to bring him into that blessed union with Himself, with His only begotten Son. Oh, us which are saved. Is there anything greater that can be laid before us by the apostle than such words as these? Oh, congregation, the apostle Paul, he speaks about the most important thing and that can possibly be spoken about in our life. Do we believe that? That is now the most important thing in our... Does our life show that? What we do, does that show that is now the most important thing? And what we speak about, what we are seeking, what we are reading? Do you ask that? Oh, how is that now? How is it that instead of perishing, that I may be saved? And when do you do that? Or do you wait? Do you wait? Do you say, oh, later, later. And how long will you wait? How long? Are you going to wait until you are old? Are you going to wait until you are tired? Are you going to wait until the sun withdraws her shining and the moon does no longer give her light and desires shall fail? Are you going to wait until you lay on a sickbed? Until that you are dying? That you may be delivered from perishing. Oh, do you ever say, well, who is that? Who is that now that are saved? And how can I know that? Can that be known? Whether or not that I also am saved? Do we ask those questions? Or do we ask only, how can I eat and how can I drink and how can I be merry and gain all the things in this life that I am going to lose in the day that I die? Paul, he speaks about us which are saved, which are rescued, which are delivered. That was no honor for Paul. It is no honor for the church. When they are rescued, no, they are the same as everyone else. No worse, Paul says, I am the chief. Us which are saved. Then he gives all the glory. He that glorieth, let him glory, he says, in the Lord. But Paul includes himself. He says, us which are saved. So what does that mean? Can it be known? Oh, Paul knew it. Well, then it can be known. How can that be known? Now, Paul says that. He speaks about power. Power. That is something Paul was not a stranger of in his soul, for the hope of his soul, for the salvation of his soul. Are we a stranger of power? Power in our soul. Paul knew a religious life that was without power. Long time he has already lived. And he has, he testifies later on, he has with all honesty, he has lived in good conscience before God. But there was no power. And he knew what it was after that he had experienced power. And he says these two things are different. That life before and the life afterwards. They are as different as night and day. They are as different as lost and saved, perishing and saved. What did that power have to do with? Paul says that here. He says it has to do with the preaching of the cross. What is that? The preaching of the cross. That is actually the sum of the whole Bible, really, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. It is the sum of all the gospel, really every preaching that ought to be the preaching of the cross. That is what the disciples were sent out to do. They were to preach the cross. But they could not preach the cross until they had experienced themselves what that cross was. And they could not preach the power of the cross until they knew for themselves the power of the cross. That was not the first thing they were taught. When the Lord Jesus called them from their earthly occupations, when a man is called out of darkness into his marvelous light, then the power of the cross, no, that is not the first thing. The disciples, they have never looked for that cross. They have never desired that cross. They have never expected that cross. That cross belongs to the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he does not begin with his priestly office, but he began with his prophetical office. He began teaching. He began preaching and instructing the Jewish people concerning the knowledge of the kingdom of God. The Lord is so gentle with his people. With his church, he is leading them step by step. He says, there are so many things that I have to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And then he does not lay on them yet what they are not able yet to bear. We have children too. And those children, well, soon enough, they are going to be exposed to all the crosses and all the trials and all the tribulations that are in this world soon enough. But we do not begin there with them. We do not lay those burdens on the heart of a little child or in their young life. Then we would say, oh, that is such a nice life. That is such an easy life. That is, when they may be under that tender, loving care of father and of mother. And so when the Lord is beginning, oh, that is a life where those crosses, they are not now coming into the foreground. No, but the Lord, he is leading that people. Oh, then they can look back sometimes later. And they remember how that the Lord led them with the multitude unto the house of God. Oh, then there was such a joy. And they come into that house of the Lord. And that house of the Lord is to them everything. Oh, then they desire to come there with all their heart, with all of their soul. Oh, how good and how pleasant is the Lord unto his own people, leading them from strength to strength unto Zion. But then there came a time that the Lord Jesus, he looks upon his disciples, and we read he began to show unto them something else, that he must go up to Jerusalem, and he must suffer many things from the scribes, and from the chief priests, and that he must be killed, and the third day rise again. Peter did not like that. He began to rebuke the Lord. No, Lord, these things they shall not be unto thee. Oh, the disciples, they did not like that. Oh, the church, they do not like that. They are not ready for that. The cross. They do not see the necessity of that cross. They think that they can be saved without going in the way of the cross. And then they are not so different in that time, in those moments. They're not so different in their opinion of this than those that perish. Because then that cross is foolishness unto them. That is what Paul says. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That is what they think. That is what they believe. The preaching of the cross that belongs to a fool, that belongs to simple-minded people. It does not make sense
that a person, a thinking person, that he would believe such things. Later on, the Apostle Paul, he says here that the preaching of the cross is a stumbling block unto the Jews and foolishness unto the Greeks. So what is a stumbling block? The word is actually a scandal. A scandal. And what is a scandal? Well, that is speaking about the rod in a trap. So we have little traps, maybe you know of children, but if you have a trap, then you set a rod, and that rod that is connected to something, and that rod is now what you trip over. You stumble over this thing. Thus, that is what this word means, a stumbling block. It is that stick. It is that thing over which people are offended. It is the thing over which people are stumbling. And now he says the preaching of the cross is now that stick. The preaching of the cross is that trigger that men are falling into this trap. That is now what is causing men to fall. It is causing men to stumble. Why? Because we do not understand that our greatest enemy is the enemy of sin, our own sin, our own guilt that condemns us. And we do not understand, and we do not believe the depth also of our fall, how deeply that we have fallen dead in sins and in trespasses. The disciples didn't understand it either. Peter and his brethren, they really thought that they could and would stand by the Lord Jesus. He was their friend. They loved him. And they really believed in their heart that they had the ability, and they certainly had the desire, that they were going to uphold him, all their righteousnesses. They were not yet become as filthy rags. All their strength is not yet gone in their own eyes. Oh, they looked for Christ to sit upon the throne, and they looked to sit the one at the right hand and the other at his left in his kingdom. And they did not look for this to go through a way of the cross. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples. He instructed his disciples in his mercy, in his goodness. But others he did not instruct. He left them. He left them to themselves, to the hardness of their own hearts, that cross would yet remain to them a stumbling block. What they tripped over. And to the Greeks, to the Jews, a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, what? Foolishness. All the wisdom of this world sees no power in the cross. What do they see in the cross? Well, they see weakness in the cross. They see frailty in the cross. They do not see a victor of warfare. They see a loser of the warfare. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Show thou art stronger than your enemies. And then we will believe thee. But no, there is no power in him. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. This is not strength. This is not power. This is weakness, foolishness. This, such a man, he is our king. Oh, he is the king of the Jews. That is laughable. If a fox would walk over the wall of his kingdom, he will even break it down. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And to us, we will not say that. No one will say that, I think. No one here out loud. Out loud. But what about in our heart? What do you think about this dying Savior? What do you think about a cross? Do you say that is foolishness? That is meaningless? Maybe even worse. That you say that is all nonsense. What do you think about a people who gather around the tokens and the symbols of his broken body and his poured out blood? What do you say of that in your heart? Do you say that is now foolishness? There's a people. They are deceived. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. How is it to us? Because Paul says, so it is to them that perish. Do we wish to know whether we perish? We want to know whether we perish. What is the preaching of the cross unto us? Because if the preaching of the cross is to us foolishness, then we perish. Then we perish. It cannot remain so. It cannot remain so. It also need not remain so. It does not have to remain so. Because there are those for whom it does not remain so. That is what Paul says. Because he speaks about us that are saved. But we will sing first 47, 1 through 4. My God, I cry to thee. O why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1 through 4 of Psalter 47.
the preaching of the cross, first, foolishness, second, and the power of God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Us which are saved. They are those who need this power. Why? Because they need to be saved. Because they have no power to save themselves. Is that also of you? Can you not save yourself from your sin? Is your sin too ingrained, entrenched in your nature, in your existence, in your being, that you find that you cannot deliver yourself from it? Can you not deliver yourself from your guilt? Can you not deliver yourself from your corruption? Can you not deliver yourself from the power of sin? Paul says the preaching of the cross is unto us which are saved the power of God. What do you think, children? Do you think Christ could have come down from the cross? Do you think that he could have saved himself as the enemy had taunted him? Oh, you say yes. Of course he could have. But he did not. Why not? It was the power of God to overcome the natural inclination of his and our human nature. Paul says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. By what power? It is the power of God. There is a great power evident in the creation. There is even more power evident in the redemption. But especially upon the cross, there is power to overcome the perfectly human, the perfectly natural, the perfectly powerful inclination of that human nature to preserve itself. And then in the consciousness, the full consciousness of his own righteousness before God, to sacrifice himself for a people who did not deserve it, who have rebelled against him and who have rebelled against his Father. For the preaching of the cross is unto us which are saved the power of God. Did it ever become so? The power of God unto you? Did you ever experience it to be so? As the power of God himself, how does that become so? Well, then we need to speak about what, young people? You say, well, then we need the application, right? And how does it become ours? Oh, then it must be by faith. And faith is powerful. A very, very powerful thing. Read Hebrews 11 and see how much is accomplished, how much is done by the power of faith. What is faith? Well, we know it has three aspects: knowledge, assent, and trust. What is the main one? What is the essence of faith? That is trust. So what is trust? Well, there is a natural trust. The natural trust is that powerful, that is very, very powerful and necessary. We cannot live, cannot move, we cannot do our work without trust, a natural trust. Like you have sat down on those benches and you trusted that they would hold you up. What if you did not? What if you did not trust that bench and every sheet in your house? You went home and you had questioned in your mind whether that is going to hold you up when you sat on it, and you said, no, I do not trust it. Will you sit there? You will not sit there. You will not lean upon it. And what if you did not trust your legs when you get up to hold you up? Then you say, I do not stand up. Trust. We do that every day in so many ways. And if we didn't have it, we would live in a condition of fear. Fear. Always. You could not drive your car, young people. You would not dare to go if you did not trust that the car was going to stop. Trust. And that trust is a very powerful thing. Just the natural trust. Very powerful. To do what? To give us rest. Rest. That we can sit. That we can stand. That we can drive. And that it will all work as God has made it to work. The whole universe. A natural trust. And now we bring it over to our soul, because now there is also a soul trust. That is about spiritual matters. And that trust is also most powerful. Powerful. Why? Because if the Lord converts us and He awakens us, that is what we need, don't we? We need to be awakened. We need to be woken up from our death sleep. And what is going to happen? Oh, then we are going to begin to fear. Fear. Why? Because what we have trusted in, we see that we cannot stand before God with this. We see that we cannot die like we have been born. That I have to stand in the judgment. That there is a punishment, that there is a condemnation that is waiting for me. And what does that do? It takes away all my rest. Because the trust that I was trusting on even to this very day, to this very moment, that is taken away from me, then I cannot rest and I cannot trust in my own righteousness anymore. That becomes to me as filthy rags, that I see I cannot stand before the Lord with this. Do we know this? with all our religion. Paul learned this on the way to Damascus. All his religion did not teach him this. All his religion didn't show him this. There's only one place we can learn it from. It comes from heaven. It comes from heaven. And all that time before, the Apostle Paul, to him, the preaching of the cross was foolishness. It was a stumbling block. He persecuted that way. But then the Lord took out from under him the foundation. The foundation of all his religion. All his works of righteousness. Oh, they lost the power with Paul. Then the Lord came. And when he saw his majesty, and when he feared before the Lord, then he understood that I cannot stand before God with all my religion, with all my works, with all my righteousness. Oh, he had to lose his foundation. He had to lose his trust in it. And now it is in that place that the Lord showed Paul the power of the cross as the power of God. And he gave to Paul a good foundation that his soul may rest upon. And he commanded Paul to preach that power, to go forth into the midst of this world, that others also may experience the power of the preaching of the cross. Did you ever experience that? Under the preaching of the Apostle Paul in that holy word of God? Oh, an awakened sinner has no power to give himself hope. To give himself hope in his guilt, in his despondency, that is a place of felt weakness. That is a place of felt helplessness. That is a place of self-despair. But there is hope for that people. In what? There is hope for them in the preaching of the cross. And there is a great power in the preaching of the cross for that people. Are there those here who can testify of the power of the preaching of the cross to give hope, to give hope in my despondency? Oh, by the power of that preaching, the Lord is drawing. He is drawing his people unto his blessed footstool. Just like that condemned Esther, when she is drawn to go in unto the king, if I perish, I perish. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says? And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Do you have a hard heart? Do you have a hard heart? Do you say, there is nothing that draws me?
Here is the power to draw to himself. There are two ways that men come before a holy God. The one way they come is in their ignorance. In the ignorance of who God is, in his holiness, in his righteousness, ignorance. Then they come boldly as a man. Oh, is that evident also in our prayers? How did we approach unto a holy and a righteous God that cannot be the same as we do approach one another? Where is then the reverence before such a God? Or one way that men come is in their ignorance. But now there is another way that men are drawn, and that is by the preaching of the cross. It is the power of God to draw a man, inviting a man, smiting upon his breast, and saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, it is the power of God to bow the soul, to bring him in great humility, to make him to confess his own guilt, his own iniquity. Oh, the power of God in the preaching of the cross to draw a prodigal. Oh, that he may say, I will arise, and I will go unto my Father, and say unto my Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Oh, the power of the preaching of the cross. There is no one that is rejected at the foot of that cross. Manasseh experienced that in the prison after having slain the people of the Lord. And Paul himself, he said, and me also. And me also. Sinners, he says, of whom I am the chief. Oh, David, he experienced power. He experienced the power of the preaching of that cross. What did he say? He said, my sin is covered. Is that not a wonderful thing? Do you know what David said before that? He said, my sin is ever before me. Ever. Are there those as David whose sin is ever before you? You say, I rise with it in the morning. I go to bed with it at night. I take it with me to my work. Or I take it with me to school. Or ever before me. And then there came a time that David said, my sin is covered. Couldn't see it. He could not see it. Then it was not before him as it was before. And why not? It is the power of God through that preaching of the cross. Could David do that? David could not do that. To take away his sin from being ever before him. But the preaching of the cross by the power of God, oh, that is able to take away even that consciousness. What we read of the publican,
He went down to his house justified. Justified. What does that mean? Justified. That means it is right between God and my soul. It means that before the judge of all the earth, my case is made right. My case is made right. That means that I can stand before that judgment seat of God without fear, just as an innocent person may be brought into that court of judgment. Oh, how is that only possible? There is only one way. That is by the preaching of the cross, that a man may experience that power. In the Old Testament, Paul says, then there were sacrifices. Sacrifices. And those sacrifices, he said, could not take away a man's sin. That is why they had to be over and over and over again. Because, he says, if it were so, then a man would have no more consciousness of sin. Is that not something? To have no more consciousness of sin? And now what does Paul say? He says there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. All the power of the preaching of the cross to take away the consciousness of sin, the preaching of the cross, is to us which are saved the power of God. Bunyan wrote about it in his book. He wrote about it. And he showed his pilgrim and the power of that cross. He said he came up that hill. And that was difficult going up. And then he saw it. Then it was revealed. Then it was opened unto him. And he says, when he saw it, then that burden that was loosed from his shoulders, and it began to fall from his back, and it began to tumble, and it tumbled, and it tumbled, and it tumbled, and it went down into the sepulchre, and he never saw it again. And he said, I stood to look and to wonder, for it was very surprising to me that a sight of the cross should thus ease me of my burden. And I looked and looked again until the springs in my head sent the waters down my cheeks. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is it to you? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is the one or it is the other. Oh, remember us, for it is true as thy word saith, there is indeed no form and no comeliness that we should desire thee, except that thou would open our eyes to behold thy great beauty. Oh, take away from us that wherein we trust, and wilt thou set our feet upon a solid foundation wherewith we can die and appear before Thee. Humble us under all Thy gifts, Thy help again in this hour. Bless Thy word. Be with us in the week to come in instructing the children at school and in Thy house, the young people, the confession class. Remember us when we gather also to sing. Remember her and that must receive surgery. Care for all of us in our labors. For Jesus' sake, amen. 111, 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock He set my feet and steadfast made my way. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 111. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessed.